Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy. Well, if it isn't, Pinhead Scott. Scott the Pinhead.
Yeah. This is this is almost as big as Back to the Future for us now, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, this is another one of our annual events now. I forgot to look up. I'll wait here just a second. In case it ever comes up. Our Patreon now is patreon.com/soundsawesome.
Okay.
So I've just created one Patreon now since I was putting everything on both Patreons, and hopefully eventually I'll be doing some Movies R Us Patreons. I sure as hell wasn't going to manage three Patreon pages. So.
All right, let's get into the goods.
Hang on just a second. I just need to see where. There it is. There it is. All right.
Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as the talent. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I am Scott.
And this is
Time
Pop.
Pop, pop. I have an idea. Pop, pop. Let's do the intro over and over again for an hour in honor of this film. Can we just loop our first 5 minutes? Would that be fun for anybody?
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our bing. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Loop Pop.
So just for the movie, we're going to do it like Phil would. Here we are, Chrononauts, fucking again. I guess.
Yeah, it's Time Pop.
I'll be your guide into the outer spaces of nothingness.
Great, another time travel film. Oh, we realized that we destroyed space and we shouldn't abuse it to our powers. Hey, it's a time loop. We realize you're supposed to learn things and be a better person. Blah, 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 blah.
I'll be your constant again.
Yeah, I'm Scott again, like before, like every time.
I'll be your $339.88.
Oh, Desmond, what day
is it? And this is Go Fuck Yourself.
Hey, it's a special day of the year. What is it? It's a day, it's a film, it's a holiday.
I can't believe we didn't think it took us 5 years to think of this. Like, what have we been doing?
A lot of time travel films. Jesus.
I guess maybe we've just ran out of time travel. Maybe that's why we didn't think of it before, because we haven't run out yet.
What's it called? What is it?
Groundhog Day. Plural, singular.
Groundhog Day, one.
Not Groundhog's
Day. The Groundhog Day.
Not Groundhog's Day.
Part one.
Groundhog Day.
A New Hope.
And I know what you guys are thinking, like, wait a minute. I love Time Pop. I've listened to all the Time Pops all the time,
because nice.
That's all I ever listen to.
Nice.
So they've already done this movie. You know what? We have already done this movie, but it's Groundhog Day and it's a loop.
We're gonna do it again.
And it comes around every year. So get ready. In February 2025, you're gonna say, oh, wait a minute. This sounds familiar. I think they've done this before. Fucking A right, we've done it before, and we're gonna do it again.
But you know what? We're not looping the same episode as last time. So you're welcome. It's experienced from a totally new perspective.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, America and beyond.
And you know what, though? This is Scott's first Groundhog Day. So we have somehow sucked an extra person into our loop. If you want to listen to my and Ari's take all the way back, holy shit, Scott, you ready for this?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Speaking of time travel, October 30th, 2019.
Oh, we were so innocent then.
season one, we were so innocent. Scott wasn't even on the show yet. He was just like,
I wasn't even born yet.
He was just like, whatever, you guys go do your dumb thing. I'm going to go live my life.
Watch and weep behind.
Tell me when you guys do another Avengers movie and then I'll show up.
Nerd.
Loser.
You know what? I really, after watching this film and thinking about it, I really support that we're doing this. This film, like Back to the Future, is really important. For a comedy film, this is the really, I mean, the first that, and I've done a little bit of research, and there's like some weird, random weird example, but generally, like for pop culture, the first real example of looping, of a day loop, of time loop, that really got into the public eye, so much so that since then it's used as like, oh, he's going through a Groundhog Day, or films reference like, it's just like Groundhog Day. Like, it became the thing for looping, just like Back to the Future is for time travel films. So that's,
yeah,
it deserves a day, just like Back to the Future. It's kind of a distant cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a loop movie, they say like Groundhog's Day. And if it's a time travel movie, they say, you mean like Back to the Future.
Right. When you first saw loop films after this, you were like, oh, it's like Groundhog's Day, except it's in the future and Tom Cruise is fighting some robots and aliens.
And just like Back to the Future, this movie is so fucking good.
Yeah. It was good to rewatch it. It was good to, I forget that like all the things that you think of a Groundhog's Day is only maybe like the first hour.
Yeah.
And then you're like first hour 15, and then him like bettering himself goes on for a really long time, like much longer than you think it would.
Well, we're going to get to that because I have a different take on
that.
So I have to come clear. You know, I'm nothing if not honest to our listeners.
We appreciate that.
This is a first for Desmond. I've watched over 100 movies, and I've still only watched over 100 movies because this one, I don't get to add this movie to my list. I did not watch all of this movie.
This time? Really?
I listened to the whole movie.
While you were trying to sleep?
But, Scott, yeah, exactly, totally. I just incepted this into my brain. But I kind of, Scott hit me this afternoon. We were going to maybe record tomorrow. And so I was like, okay, maybe Scott will hit me up and then I'll watch it late tonight, or maybe I'll get up really early and watch something like that. And then Scott hit me up this afternoon. He's like, let's do it tonight. I'm like, I'm already recording tonight. He said, well,
do it after.
Double down, pussy. And so I was like, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't know that you'd finish it.
So I watched like the first half hour, and then I listened to it in the car while I drove to pick up my son. So I watched like 40 minutes of it, 30 to 40 minutes of it, I just listened to in the car. And then like 30 minutes of it, I listened to while I did the dishes. And I had it next to me, so I was able to look over every once in a while. And then I watched the last 20, 25 minutes of it. And this is a movie, and I know I talked about this with Ari, because this is a very special movie in my life, because we actually had this on audio tape only. We had this on a cassette.
Oh, wow.
And we would listen to this movie at RIP Wedgwood Ale House, which just went out of business December 20th, I think. So I've listened to this movie dozens of times anyways. And today I added another mostly listened to it. But it was at first I was like, oh, this sucks. But like, this is a movie that I've seen so many times, I've listened to so many times, that it kind of gave me, because it made me focus on, because like any movie, I'm like, no matter how long a movie is, even if it's a 90-minute Desmond special, the last 30 minutes I'm kind of zoning out. I'm just kind of...
Yeah, a lot of the time, right?
Yeah, I'm just starting to be like, oh yeah, I know how this ends, or...
Did you zone out for Inception? Because that really keeps you on your toes, right? That's
Inception, I watched in two sitting. That's how...
Right, okay.
Now, if I watch Inception, and that's why it was such a great watch for Inception for me, because... Since I watched it in two one hour and 15 minute chunks, I wasn't zoning out too bad by the end of it.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So, but I've seen this movie so many times, I don't feel so bad, but I wanted to tell everyone out there that I kind of had to rush through this. So today again, just another reason why I have the best job ever. I got to watch Barbie and Groundhog Day today. That was my job.
That's a job. It's a good life.
It's so great. Anyways. And this is like, we could almost Groundhog Day this movie for the next year, I feel like, and like pick up new little things. As many times as I've seen this, I feel like,
yeah,
it just changes a little bit. There's so much going on. It's such a
Did you pick up on the fun fact of whose first film this was?
Well, it was Debbie from...
No. Uh-uh.
It was her first movie, because I was like, I recognize her, and I looked her up.
Yeah, not her.
Wait for it. Not Chris Elliott.
No, it's a small role. I read it, and then I noticed it.
Who?
You know who Michael Shannon is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the teenager in it, the one that they give the tickets to at the end for WrestleMania that just got married.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's a young Michael Shannon.
Well, because you know who Debbie is, right?
No.
His wife.
Yeah.
His new... So yeah. We picked the same...
Oh, sorry.
I
meant who the actress is. Yes. I know it's his wife. Yeah. That's fun. It was his first role. And it's just like, he's like probably like a good looking teen in this. And so it's so funny that he becomes Mr. Creepoid General Zod.
Wow.
Or the taxi driver in The Night Before. He's the master. Although I did see him in 8 Mile recently also. He's the mom's lover in 8 Mile.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, it was weird. It's Michael Shannon as a teenager. Fun fact, whatever.
Thank you for bringing that to the table, Scott.
You know me, man.
Holy crap.
But yeah, I don't know. I really like this film. You and I did Scrooge recently, and like, it's not dissimilar to Scrooge, right? He starts the film off as the biggest asshole, and he finds like redemption at the end, and it's Bill Murray, and he's the same redemption person. This, you know, maybe a little calmer, but like in love and being positive and good, and the same like critical, cynical asshole. So that felt a little similar, but yeah.
But he's present for this movie.
Yeah.
Which Scrooge is not, like, they're kind of around the same time, aren't they?
Oh, this was 93. Oh, yeah. Scrooge is 88.
Okay, so that...
Ish.
So why is he, like, he's so weird in what he, like, shows up for and doesn't show up for.
Yeah, apparently he's a big personality. I read up on this one a little bit. So Harold Ramis directed this, and these guys were partners in... Right, Meatballs and Stripes and all the and Ghostbusters. And apparently they fought all throughout this. And after this movie, those two did not talk for like 2 decades until right before Harold Ramis was about to die.
Wow.
And then they talked and just they were so Harold Ramis wanted this to be funny. And and Bill Murray wanted to be philosophical.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? And but later on after the film, when Bill Murray was first done, he's like, that was the worst film I've ever done. And later on, he's like, that may be the best film I've ever done and will do. And they say it kind of changed his trajectory, right? Before this, he was always like wacky, funny guy. And he did a little bit of serious in this. And that paved the way to like the world of like Lost in Translation and like all the Wes Anderson films. Like this kind of changed his career path. So,
yeah. You're right. This is his first like serious. And you know what, though? Because Harold Ramis knew him so well.
Yeah. He's probably like,
he knew how to get, even if it's like, I don't care if you hate me. Like we go way back. You're not going to Bill Murray me. Motherfucker.
Like, but he did. Yeah. Apparently, but Bill Murray did stuff on the set and threw tantrums and was like, he was also getting divorced at the time and he was miserable and the cold really got to him and he got bit by the groundhog a bunch. And like,
oh, it was, my God.
They had to shoot in the cold and it was gnarly.
Oh, this is so, are you a Gilmore's Girl fan?
I've never seen it in my life.
Oh, Scott, do yourself a favor. Watch some Gilmore Girls.
I don't know. You know, I'm a modern sensitive guy, but that's kind of like asking me to, I don't know. What's an equivalent of that?
I don't know. It's such, the writing is so, like, it's definitely one of those shows. It is so tough. Like, I don't know. I won't get too into Gilmore.
Anyway, yes, I'm not a Gilmore Girls guy.
The town in Gilmore Girls is Stars Hollow, and this place is so fucking star.
Oh, like charming, cute town that like wins you over. Yeah, where the town is like a character.
It's shocking to me that this isn't a Backlot. Like this is so cutesy and
the town's really charming. Yeah,
perfect. And it's Woodstock, Illinois.
Yeah,
and I love it because if you pay attention, you can still there's still plenty of Woodstock signs up, like Woodstock jewelry and.
Oh, that's funny. I did not notice.
Like there's some stuff like that. Oh, I'm looking at it right now. When he's always in the diner next to the clocks that are always they're random. The clocks are not set. The clocks are random.
The town almost looks like Hill Valley. Like there was one part I was like they did.
Again, a back lot.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
There's a town square. There's a main. They didn't shoot it there. I looked, I was like, no.
A gazebo.
Just like, I don't know, when Ned Ryerson's running up, it's like, man, this looks like Mr. Sandman should be playing as Ned Ryerson. Here it is. Desmond, I've got it for you. You know, there's song mashups. Let's do a movie mashup. Let's have
yes.
Oh. Hill Valley and Punxsutawney fused together in the same shot. Bill Murray, Michael J. Fox coming into the town, they're disillusioned, like, wait, what's going on? Like, it's interesting.
Oh, keep having Marty walking in the background of
the diner that he's in.
So Ned Ryerson, does he live here or is he just here for the festivities? I mean, he's got his briefcase. Ooh. So I guess he's like going to work.
Bing!
Bing! Again!
Oh, he's so good. He's so great. I am. So, but in my studies of this also, which I like seeing, there was fights with the studios of like, they're like, you got to explain why this is happening.
Yeah.
Like that was thought about, which is great. Cause I've always felt that over the years of like, they said, ultimately they were like, we didn't want to, we wanted him to like, just figure it out. And it's a thing. And you know, there was different reasons. And like, I, at least they could have tied it in with the groundhog, maybe like, right. The groundhog says there's like, cause the groundhog affects time. I mean, weather.
Something.
So maybe like the groundhog had like a spiritual essence. They're just, it can't just be that like, you have to learn to be a nicer person, because then a lot of motherfuckers out here would be in time loops.
Yeah. Oh, the world is in
Trump's,
a time
Trump's
loop.
Trump's in a time loop still.
Yeah.
So like, it can't just be like, oh, when you're a bad guy, you get in a time loop. Like,
why him?
I just want to admit that he made a wish. I just want the ground. I feel like the groundhog has to be significant.
Yeah.
It has to be like, when you do something to the groundhog, then it makes you repeat the day. It's a spiritual animal. I still need a reason. I need a reason.
So, and they didn't spell it out at all, but like the only, and I've never thought about this before, but just talking to you about it, he has a moment when he sees Rita, when he first sees Rita.
Yeah.
He has a moment where he's like,
uh-huh.
Oh, that's kind of different and fun and nice. And maybe that's what, like, oh, if you want that, you can have that in your life, but you got to get your shit together. We're not going to let you destroy this beautiful woman.
But so the powers that be decide for us.
Oh my God. She's what's her name in Scrooge. She's, I always want to say Lois Lane. It's not Lois. The woman whose life he destroys, or not destroys, but like the woman that he pushes away. Like if he doesn't learn.
What are you talking about? Oh.
If he doesn't learn what he learns in this movie, he definitely like just bangs Rita and then ends up having to get a job in another town because she's his boss and he's a dirtbag.
Oh yeah. I remember this film differently. Actually, I've seen it a bunch, but it's been a while. And like, I thought I remember like, oh, he bangs her. And then that's when like the day switches and he doesn't. So that's good. And I also thought I remember that like he manipulates her into falling in love and then it works. And then like, that's not right. And it's like, no, that wasn't it. So I was proud that like only when he wasn't trying for her, when he honestly became a good person and became the person she wanted of his own accord, did the love actually happen. So that is good.
Besides the fact that we've been, it's February and we're going to do this. Like we've been talking about doing this movie forever because you kept swearing that it was because he made her fall in love with him that he got her the next day. And I'm like, no, like that happens in spite of him becoming a good person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So I'm glad. So thank you. Yeah. It's because manipulative time travel love, we've seen it and it's pretty fucked up. There's like something not, I don't want to say rapey about it, but there's something like you're controlling them by learning this and then using it against them in a form that's dishonest and manipulating them. And it's happened in films and it's ethically strange.
Cause that's not their true self. When you're like, when you manufacture perfection, you're not
based upon asking them and you're manipulating them. You have all the control and they don't, and they don't realize what you're doing to them. It's messed up.
So this movie,
time travel gaslighting.
I think one of the things that, again, kind of like because I was listening to it, so it moved a little bit faster. He ramps up quick. He has.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has his first day and then his second day. He's like, oh, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then his third day, he
just ignores it. He just walks past everybody.
Well, and he's like, I'm going to the train. That he gets I guess I don't think he really gets tramped, but he gets arrested,
almost kills them, and gets arrested. Yeah,
yeah, he gets arrested on his third night, and then wakes up day four, and is just like, hallelujah, I'm gonna use this to my advantage. And then what does he do day four?
I'm trying to remember if that's when he starts.
Oh, that's when he goes. I think that's when he just goes straight to the diner and is eating sponge cake by the bees.
Yeah.
That's day four. And then he, like, we see him do, and this makes sense to me in a way that, like, even if he wants to fuck off for the day, his day probably goes much smoother if he just wakes up and does the broadcast.
Yeah.
Because he does that broadcast a lot. And, like, you would think by day six, he's just like, I'm not fucking doing this. But then he's got to spend 12 hours of his day ducking Rita. And if he just does the morning routine, goes and sees Phil, and then he's like, all right, we're blizzarded in. Fuck off. I'm going to go have sex with, or I'm going to go play Bronco Bill for the rest of the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He, yeah, he sleeps with the other lady from the diner. Yeah, he starts using his
power. What's her name? I keep wanting to say Rita. But yeah, the woman that he tricks into thinking that they went to high school.
Yeah, he goes through different phases. He goes where, like, he's using his powers. Then he goes to, like, going for the lady. Then he goes for, like, suicide run.
And then does he do the suicide after? So he spends a decade.
Yeah.
I always.
It was after the Rita. He falls in love with her. And then, like, the night goes bad at the end and he wakes up. Or, yeah.
Well, and he does it over and over. They show the slap fest where he can't.
Yeah.
Seal the deal with Rita, and then he goes into the suicide spiral, which I love. They do not show that enough in the Loop movies. Like, I would go into a bottle of Jack Daniels and a day's worth of Jeopardy. Like, and I always forget too that they conveniently knock out the long distance just to really, you know, make sure his world is as small. He's blizzarded in.
Who's he trying to call so bad? Like, who's he trying? He doesn't have a partner.
Someone at the station. I mean, at first, I think he's just trying to call the station just to be like, I'm snowed in. I need someone else to.
Yeah, he doesn't want the guy taking his thing the next day.
Yeah. But, like, so then I was shocked because I always think that he learns the piano pretty early to impress Rita. He memorizes a couple of poems, but he doesn't learn the piano. He doesn't learn French. He doesn't do any of that shit. It's not until, like, there's only like 20 minutes left of this movie when he starts to map of tiny perfect thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was nerding out on it. I was reading on it. I mean, the people that love to nerd out on this shit, they're like, Harold Ramis originally said, I feel like he experienced this day for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And then they talk to people and be like, to master piano in the way that they show him and the number of hours you need. And also, like, the ice stuff is, like, they're, like, he might have been doing that for, like, 30 years. I don't like to think of that. I think 10 years is plenty.
Because they also add everything. They stack everything. They don't assume that he's learning the piano and ice sculpture on the same day, which he can.
Right.
He can go to a 2-hour piano lesson and go to a 2-hour ice sculpting lesson and go to a 2-hour French.
Still, to jam with, like, a blues band, it takes time.
Yeah. No, it's.
I'd like to think 10 years. I think 10 years, but that's a lot.
It's not like he spent 8 years learning the piano and then he spent 8 years learning ice sculpture and then he spent 8 years. He could.
Right.
He could
the same time.
Yeah. Those things a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. Oh, the article I read, someone was like, so we feel like it's like 70 years. I'm like, oh my God, no, it's not. He'd be going insane.
I mean, he kind of does. I mean, we.
What about. I mean, this is more of a Twilight Zone episode, but what about a time loop film that doesn't get resolved, where there's not a happy ending? Like, you're just...
This is just...
You can't even kill yourself. Oh. You have to do it for eternity. That's crazy. It's like the most helpless, yeah.
I mean, you would... Now, it all depends on what your day... Like, if it's a day like this where every morning at 6:30, Rita comes banging on your door saying, hey, dude, we got to... They're getting Phil again. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I'd love to have my, like, maybe my birthday every day. Like, fuck no.
No.
Like, every day, everyone coming to your fucking house. But if it's like, if it's a day where you wake up alone, you got nothing planned, you can do whatever you want. You can go as far. You have 24 hours to go as far as you want. You're not waking up.
You could do a lot of different things.
You're not waking up with a hangover every fucking day. You would go through some rough times.
Uh-huh.
Would you like more Thank the Light? Head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome. So they did something very fucking... this is the first time I've ever read this. The writer, Danny Rubin, was writing this, and he was he started thinking about vampires.
Yep, I read this.
I've never heard that. That is such a brilliant...
This was inspired by Lestat, book for what he called it. What's the fucking vampire movie with Lestat?
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. What's the film? Antonio Banderas,
Diary
Brad Pitt.
Not Diary of a Vampire.
Why can't we not think of this? It was such a big deal.
All right, everyone. Everything stopped.
They've all got ponytails.
We don't have technology. We can't. We have to do this. We have to do this.
I have to look it up.
Like the...
The fucking Lestat.
The Legend of the Vampires.
Anyway, I would never have expected this to be inspired by that. Really interesting. I guess the immortalness of it. Oh my God, it's taking me forever to type
this
in.
He questioned if and when immortality would become boring or pointless and how a person would change over time, especially...
Interview with a Vampire. Jesus.
Thank you. Like I said, Vampire Diary.
So he originally wanted the film to be about someone being immortal and eternal. And then when they were pitching it, they realized budget-wise, if you just do the same day, you don't have to change the set. So they did it out of practicality for the budget. Because if you do eternal, you've got to change so many centuries, so many times. You got to represent centuries and decades. All they've got to do is have one set and recreate the same thing. It's so much more budget friendly. I could totally see why that would be more appealing.
And the only reason it's Groundhog Day is just random.
Yeah. He said it was the next holiday.
We were this close to this being Valentine's Day.
But it's so dumb because I like that it's Groundhog Day, right? There is a thing about repeating, extending time or a season and that being changed. And it's obscure.
April Fool's Day.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good, too. Can't be a major holiday. This isn't a Halloween Christmas thing.
Yeah. And again, that would just suck so much if you're just what are you dressing up for today? You're murderer. That's who I'm dressing up.
So this film sparked, for me, a whole genre, really. I think this, I credit this.
Oh,
they were sued by 1201 PM, I think. But this started it. And then. What is the next time loop film you remember after this? Was it Edge of Tomorrow?
No.
AKA Live, Die, Repeat?
No, there had to have been something between.
I'm going to look it up. I mean, obviously, we know that there's Palm Springs. We know that there's Boss Level.
I'm going to look this up while I pee. With the other hand. With the other hand.
Okay, great. While you pee, I'm gonna hum the national anthem.
To do, Scott.
Yeah, I just looked at it too.
Holy shit.
But again, we're not saying it's the first loop film, but it's the first one that broke some ground and crossed over.
I want to watch a time loop movie from 1947.
The woman who lost her husband on New Year's Eve wishes she could do it. The Time Travelers, 1964.
The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, live action. That's crazy because I've seen that cartoon, that anime, a billion times. The fact there's a 1983 live action. 1201, we have to get 1201 up the list.
Yeah, let's move that up.
There's two 1201s before this.
Yeah, then Groundhog Day, then your favorite, Christmas Every Day.
Yeah.
A selfish teenager is forced to relive the same Christmas day.
Yeah, there's Run Lola Run, but that's not the same thing.
Oh, no, but we got it. Do we do that?
No, we can. Yeah.
Get it together. Naked.
Source Code. But that's, yeah.
Camp Slaughter. Oh, Christmas Do-Over. Girl Who Lived Through Time. Last Days of Summer. Triangle. Oh, yeah. Wait.
But I didn't watch that until 2 years ago.
That's a different kind of loop. Yeah. So Source Code, you're right. For a film that we would have seen after Source Code.
I guess you're right. Like Edge of Tomorrow is the only like.
1 minute time machines on the list. That's great. The Infinite Man. But that's not a day loop. That's like, I don't know.
No, I guess you're right, Scott. Like there's a movie or two in there that I watch, but they are not the same kind of loop movie as this.
Yeah.
Where you're really like, So
Edge of Tomorrow and then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. There's a film called Naked where someone keeps waking up every day in a hotel elevator naked. The remake of the Swedish Naked. Then Happy Death Day, which definitely falls in a day.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day to you. See You Yesterday. Palm Springs, Boss Level.
Christmas Again. Yeah.
There's a lot of Christmas films. We got to take it up a notch. Manadu, thank you. The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. Meet Cute. So like it started obviously way back then, but like it really picked up a lot of heat starting from like, I don't know, 2015 and on.
Yeah, there's like 20 movies.
It's not considered very original anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we got to find some of these older ones and see what those loop movies are doing. But so yeah, this really is. Yeah, what a great. I don't know why the idea of starting with vampires and moving into this just to investigate what eternity would be like. Because as a it's not the same as a vampire, like living day after day,
yeah,
and watching people, you know, live and die in your lifetime and watching things change and getting to sleep in some days and getting to wake up early other days. Like, oh, man, waking up to that. I mean, the montage of him just breaking that alarm clock. And we never see, I guess we see him stay up until 4 a.m., but we never see him like stay up until 6 a.m. and just have it. There's only one movie, I think, where we've seen it happen on the tick. Like usually there's a little bit of ambiguity there. We don't really know how everything resets. And this one does the same thing where like, yeah, if he stays up until 5:59, does he just tick?
Don't they have that one day where she stays over and they snuggle, but it still resets the next day?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like who's making this like not until you can play the piano and you help everyone in town, you get to change. You don't have to just be a better person. You have to literally help every human or else we can't move forward.
So when he stays up with her, that's when he decides that's when he understands why he truly loves her. And then he becomes, that's when she finally influences who he wants to be. And then the next day, because he's just like, you're the kindest person I've ever met. You're nice to everyone.
Yeah.
You're the most amazing person I've ever met. And then that's when he wakes up the next day and decides that he wants to be more like her. And then that's when he genuinely and honestly starts to help people, not just manipulating his surroundings to get in her pants. And then that's when she genuinely falls in love with him. But yeah, I wonder if like you might be kind of right, because if he's just a good guy and she's like, you know, nice hanging with you, Phil. Can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah, I don't know who's deciding if it's like a dean of admissions. Well, that anthropology class doesn't really count.
Because they make a point that like they didn't have sex that night. She did not pay him for sex.
Right. Well, she was like, I wish you did. You fell asleep.
Yeah.
Trying to make it, you know, sweet and innocent. And he wasn't going for it. I get it.
But they definitely boned that morning before.
Oh, yeah.
They came out.
She's going to get her money's worth.
And then they moved to this town.
And they moved.
They're going to move to this. They can't move to this town. She's a high powered.
Well, they're not going to keep their job. You can't bone your producer.
Oh, that's true. Well, since she can just produce, he's done. She's a high power.
He can do local. He can do local weather there. They'll hire him in a second. Maybe they open a cafe and they make donuts.
Oh, fuck yeah. With and Chris Elliott can be their busboy.
Don't shit on their parade.
It always bothers me. I know why they do it. They have to do it. And I don't, you know, I totally get it. But there's, in order for that guy to greet him at the top of the stairs every morning, that means he has to walk out of his door at the exact same second every morning. And there's no way. All he has to do is just decide to spend 30 seconds longer brushing his teeth that morning, or maybe skip brushing your teeth that morning. And then you don't run into that guy at the top of the stairs when you walk out of there.
Yeah, that guy doesn't have a very satisfying role in the film, I think.
What is this? Is this PG-13? Oh, by the way, today we watched Groundhog Day from 1993, rated PG, 1 hour and 41 minutes, just 11 minutes off perfection. Starring Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, Chris Elliott, Stephen Tobolowsky, Brian Doyle Murray. Oh, just so many wonderful people. Why did I brought that up for a different reason. Oh, yeah, I loved it just to see what it's rated. This is the first time, again, I love this movie. When he counts down when it's like day two or day three, and he's just like, all right, camera on me in 3, 2, 1. And the one is his middle finger.
Yeah.
So great. So stupid. It's so great. There's a lot of countdowns in this. He counts down 3, 2, 1. Again, something I probably only noticed because I was listening to it. So I was just, that's all I had. Like, there were just so many. It's weird. It was one of those things where I was almost like, does that play into the ending of this movie at all? Is 3, 2, 1? But I mean, I guess just, you know, numbers in general, dates.
Yeah.
Playing a.
But they did, they chose the song I Got You Babe because it's repetitive and about love, and they thought, good.
Yeah.
That's intriguing.
Seers of seers, prognosticators of prognosticators. Are we going to go to Punks and Tony's sometime? Hey, you know what? Since this might be kind of a short episode, you know, I mean, we're going to get our hours out of it. I'm going to just do a needle scratch right now. Scott.
Yeah.
And since we already kind of talked about it so much, tell us about Back to the Future musical.
Oh, you want to hear about that now?
I mean, we were talking about how Back to the Future and Groundhog Day are the two most seminal time travel films ever made. So I think this is, I mean, we're not going to wait until next October to talk about it.
I still have a thing for you, by the way.
I like things.
Yes, it was very fun. You know, there are people, you know, Broadway is just turning films into plays, and there's something about that. But obviously, I'm very excited. For anyone that is a Back to the Future enthusiast, this will be very fun and rewarding for you. My friend who didn't go, who likes like theater, he ended up not going. And then as I was watching it, I was like, he would have hated this. Mm. I liked it. He would have, unless you're like a big enthusiast, you know, none of the songs are that memorable. The only thing I liked song-wise was that they take the actual instrumental theme and they put some words to it at one part.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's kind of neat. You know, they're overdoing all the cast comes out in 80s clothes. And it's like, I've always seen that with 50s and 60s and 40s. And like, you know, it's always, they just, everything you think, they just put it into like a whole decade into outfits. And then like, but when your own timeline, you're like, these aren't even from the same part of the 80s. And they're just kind of putting it in there. It's actually 90s. And like, oh, they're just kind of taking this snapshot of this caricature of my decade. They took liberties with the storyline. They changed some things out of necessity and to make it, you know, more clear in the play. And like, I won't tell you all of them. I will say the chase through Hill Valley doesn't happen. It's like a chase through a school cafeteria because of practicality of like theater, you know?
Yeah.
The ending, there's a different thing. There's some scenes that they don't have the scene with the alien cut where he goes into George McFly's bed and plays the Walkman and tells him he's going to melt his brain.
Oh, well, I guess that's so short. Like, that's not worth the scene change.
The manure scene is not there. They have to do something else.
Oh, is it spaghetti? Because he's in a cafeteria?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know.
How'd you know?
I know. I know, Alf.
They do all the so things like that. And the other side is like, you're making a play like this. It's for the diehard fans, right? It's Back to the Future. There are some lines that have to be said or we will be very upset. If you don't say, I'm your density, we're going home.
Yeah.
But when you say these lines, we're not laughing at the funny ones because like we have heard it. We know it's coming, but you have to do it. And then these casts, sometimes some of the lines don't have the genius, like say that a Christopher Lloyd has. Like the moment where he says, where he's like, no, don't tell me, let me read your mind. And then he reads his mind and it doesn't work. And then he tells him, I'm here from the future. And he goes, do you know what this means? And he takes that pause and then it's this damn thing doesn't work. Right? Yeah. So the timing, like comedic timing on things like that, they don't hit it as well.
This damn thing doesn't.
There's a lot of stuff that Christopher Lloyd's so great. And like, you're just not going to get that. So there's all those things.
I mean, are they still on original cast? They can't, they're probably not on it. Well, yeah, they probably are on original
cast. I don't know. I saw it in London. So it was different cast than the New York. Than the
Broadway. Oh, you saw it in London?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you fuckers had a layover in New York.
No, we were in London.
Oh.
They all have American accents, though, because of the movie.
Oh.
There's one musical number that I really loved that was Doc Brown, like, in the future, like, on a spaceship with, like, very electronic, like, Devo-like music. No. It was just, like, about the future. That was pretty cool.
What, is there any cool, like, special effects? Like, did they do anything cool, any cool stage effects?
Do I ruin it? Am I doing spoilers or no?
I don't know. Can you be general about any of it?
Yeah. What they do with the car, there's kind of a pretty amazing special effect with the car and its flight. That's kind of like essentially a magic trick and you have no idea how they did it.
That's cool. I've been super fascinated with that now that I realize that, who's that comedy duo? Shit. Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
Teller like now devotes a lot of his time to, helping create stage effects.
Oh, cool.
You know,
yeah.
So it, like, it's technically,
this has one.
It's like a magic trick, but he's doing it for the, you know.
And this is like the version of like doing a magic trick, a card trick, and then making sure you see that my sleeves are rolled way the fuck up and that you see my hands are in front of you and you touch the cards.
Yeah.
And you're still like, I don't know how you did it. They do that.
Rad.
So, but I will, what I will say about this play, again, there's some of the things they change. You're like, or like, that sucks. Or I see why. Oh, I mean, I can tell you this. There's no Libyans.
Well, that makes... Oh.
Yeah. They don't want to do like hate speech about a certain region, I think. So they have to do a whole other thing of how he dies and there's no Libyans.
Huh. Are they just...
And that's kind of disappointing and shitty. But I will say, seeing this...
I mean, that makes sense. I get why they don't...
Right. I get why they didn't, but it sucks.
Oh, that's a bummer. Because that seems like it'd be an easy fix.
As a fan, when he's like playing Johnny Be Good and it's the chairman of the scene, he's playing in front of you... That's very exciting, right? Like that scene, and they do have him in the car and they're playing the soundtrack and he's playing and it looks like he's driving to go faster and they're playing the soundtrack and you're getting pumped with the car there. Like being able to be immersed in the film, sort of, we had really good seats. That is fun.
Did they mix in anything from 2 or 3?
No.
Or is it just totally?
It's just one. Just
Back to the Future 1. That's we're not. Going outside the drawn out. How was the 50s? Did they do the 50s well?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who actually lived in the 50s probably thinks the same.
The cast was good at all. They give to accept that they're different, but they all did a really good job. It was really well cast.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, again, it's hard to say. I don't think it's like the greatest play musical. And I don't think I thought it would be. It's good for Back to the Future enthusiasts.
That's crazy because we're such nerds that like, it's surprising to me that it's so popular. Like I know, because even people who were, even everyone who was, you know, 8 to 18 in the '80s, like still not every one of them loved movies and loved science. Like, yeah, I'm really, because I didn't know what to expect. Like what you're describing makes total sense, but it's really, I mean, you'd have to fill those seats with just musical nerds. Like you couldn't fill the seats around the globe for just Back to the Future dorks, could you?
I mean, it's a big thing, and like there's so many films and people are just curious to,
but there's so much things going on Broadway. Like if you're like, oh, Back to the Future, like
I felt like when I first heard of this, I pictured in my mind the songs they would do. And I just, there's some missed opportunities, right? I pictured his mom having this like love song, like inappropriate because it's her son, like, and being funny. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
There wasn't a like, I just have a big crush on him right after. And it's with like some inappropriate puns. Like, just.
Isn't he a dreamboat?
Yeah. I would have called it like My Dreamboat or something, right?
Totally.
So like, there's just some easy things of like, I don't know, Biff doing like a song called Buttheads or. Like what I definitely thought would be like, I wanted there to be like a 50s ballad called I Am Your Density. Like,
yeah.
And like going into the science of it. And like, there's more creative fun that could happen with the songs.
Or Biff singing about how he's going to rape his future wife.
Yeah.
That'd be a good song.
Yeah. That'll really bring Bring the crowd together.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I can't believe I keep on forgetting to say that. And like I said, I think since we were already talking about Back to the Future and Groundhog Day being what time travel is, has become, I think that was a perfect segue. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, friend.
And I can't wait to get my thing.
Yes, you get your thing.
I don't have much more to say about this. It's so great. I'm already excited to watch it again next year. I'm excited to be part of a great podcast tradition of rewatching movies. I think I've told you one of my favorite podcasts is an annual viewing of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Ha.
Just every Thanksgiving I know that the McElroy brothers and the Worst Idea of All Time is going to get together. And the Worst Idea of All Time, they're the ones that watched the same movie for a year, every week for a year. And like, God, Groundhog Day, I could totally watch this movie 52 times in a row. That would be just fine for me. So good. Any last things about Groundhog Day before I get the clock out?
No, I don't know. It hit me different. I like that, like, he became the right person for her. And it wasn't for her is when he won her over. I don't like that it's not explained in any, there's just no reason that it makes the film simple, which is nice, but yeah, no.
Do they make it? Do they live happily ever after?
Yeah. He's a changed man. He like her positivity, like he sees the world through different eyes and he feels the love.
Like the first time you fuck up, the first time he fucks up, he's going to be so frustrated that he has to actually live with that mistake for the rest of his life now. He hasn't had to live with the mistake for 10,000 years, Scott. And now the first time
I think he's not going to be a weather guy. I think he's going to be like a piano player, like at a local bar now.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. He's going to be a totally different person. Through what he's learned, he's going to encourage her to go find her true calling.
Yeah.
I mean, she's awesome. I mean, it's Annie McDowell, so obviously she's gorgeous, but she's also she's a fun person in this movie. Like, I could see wanting to hang out with her.
Yeah, I read they didn't want anyone to try to battle him comedically, so someone who's just funny with, like, their innocence.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has she been in any other... Is she only a one-time... I don't know why. I feel like she obviously could have played Doc Brown's girlfriend in Back to the Future 3. She could have filled that part just fine. What's her name in Back to the Future 3?
Well, she's not in Back to the Future 3. You mean Andy McDowell?
Yeah, I know. But who is the woman in Back to the
Future? What's his name? It's Ted Danson's wife. It's my brain is so bad after COVID.
Mrs. Danson, you.
Yeah, she is Mary Steenburgen.
There we go.
Oof.
Those two, I feel like early on in their career, they were in the same waiting room a lot, just going like, oh, fuck, it's you again. Assuming they're the same age, I'm probably way off in their age. They're probably like 20 years apart.
Yeah.
What time is it this year, Scott?
Oh, wow. This is a toughie.
I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be excited to.
This is a great classic film. The watchability is great. I don't find it groundbreaking in the science and the theory of time travel, which is more the appealing thing to me in the bag. Hard decisions. I guess I'll give it a 9 o'clock. And that's for the watchability and the classic nature and the kind of, it's funny that this was not done by a big sci-fi nerd. This was a guy that was like, oh, it'd be funny to be immortal. And like, I want to do a story about the lonely immortal guy, but it's cheaper to do it in one day. That's how this great genre, you know, was born. Again, it existed before, but still the great genre.
You ready for this, Scott?
Yeah.
10:30.
Oh, is that your highest rating?
By far.
Wow.
By far. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I gave this a 720 next year. But like, this just really got me today. Just the little bit of research I did, like I said, the vampire connection is just so brilliant. You know, how quickly he just ramps into this, like, well, I'm immortal. Let's do this. And it does, like, I am kind of with you a little bit. Like, I wish there was a little bit of explanation. Like, I can see why
Well, and you can see now when they make these movies, they try to explain it more and more. And like, you know, that's if they had like we didn't have the language when this movie was made to even explain it without dragging it down into just nothing and into, you know, the whole movie ended up being whatever it is. But just, you know, this is a right around 90 minutes, right in my sweet spot. I'm super excited to rewatch this already. It's like, this is one of those movies, like, I need to watch this movie. Like, this is one of those movies that I've seen so many times and I've listened to so many times that even when it's on in front of me, I just kind of look away and like, I've seen it, like, I don't need to. But like, this is just such a well-made movie. It's a well-populated movie that like, I could watch this whole movie the next time and never pay attention to Bill Murray and probably still enjoy the fuck out of this movie. Just watching the whole town act in the background.
Mm.
So great.
It is. Wow. Highest Desmond rating. Okay.
There we go. There we go. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome. For $3 a month, you will receive an exclusive podcast every 2 weeks. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the content. If you would like to continue to support Time Pop for free, we just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are @time_pop_pod, @timepoppod. Please send us your movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Any questions or comments from this or any other episode to timepoppod@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Time Pop? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have Comedy Spirituality, The Wheel of Time, Fitness and Nutrition, and coming soon, Movies Are Us. That's right. Movies Are Us is coming to the Sounds Awesome Network, where we will be discussing, you guessed it, movies based on all the great stuff you used to be able to buy at the beautiful brick and mortar Toys R Us. If it's a game, if it's a board game, if it's a video game, if it's a toy, and they made a movie about it, we're going to discuss it. Stay tuned for Movies R Us. Found at whatsoundsawesome.com, along with All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Thank the Light, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. So tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, we're going to talk about Groundhog Day.
And then the night after that.
This is our life now, Scott.
Yeah. Could be worse.
It really could be. It really could be. We're going to find out how much worse it's going to be when we watch Somewhere in Time soon.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, I think.
It's going to be so fucking great. Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton. See you in the future past.
Put your little hand in mine.
Hand in mine. Baby, what a honey, anywho.
How do I not know all of those words? I was like, Scott will know them. He doesn't know him either.
No.
Get out your little booties because it's cold outside. It's cold every day. What is this, Miami Beach? Good night.
It's a doozy. Good night.
2 Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.